New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Aeon Byte interview. My name is Miguel Connor, and I am your host on this journey always. And welcome to the virtual Alexandria, as I call it. Very excited today to be joined by Gary Zukav, an individual, as I told him, his book, Seed of the Soul, literally saved my soul late in the late 90s when I was in rehab and my ego had... Well, all the options of my fragmented ego had failed and I needed help, and works like Gary's really showed me a world of potential and how there was something beyond my five senses. So he helped me with my recovery very much, and I am eternally grateful for everything that Gary has done to help human evolution and consciousness. Gary, thank you very much for coming on the show.
You're welcome, Miguel. It's good to be here. And thank you for your invitation.
Oh, pleasure is all ours. And thank you for coming in with us, too. We've got the Moondog, Vance Saatchi. How are you doing, Vance?
I'm just fine this morning and looking forward to hearing what Gary has to say. There was a period in my life where I read many, many books, and among them were Gary's books. So it's really thrilling to have Gary here.
Thank you, indeed.
Well, Gary, since we were talking about reading your works and in the late 90s, my first question, and I know you would never be arrogant, but sometimes I feel, do you feel like doing like a victory lap? Because let's face it, you know, 20, 30 years ago, what we were into was considered fringe, maybe flaky, but in the year 2024, I feel individuals like you should be more than vindicated. Things like the mind-body connection, non-local consciousness, holistic medicine, all the ideas that you pioneered in the 90s are no longer fringe and are being embraced by science and medicine. Do you feel... vindicated, or do you feel, well, there's still much work to do?
Well, that question puts me in a framework that's a little smaller than I'd like to be in. So if you don't mind, I'd like to start by sharing this with our listeners. I don't expect you or ask you to take anything I say as so because I say it. On the contrary, I suggest that if you resonate with anything that I say, you experiment with it in your life. And if it produces something that you find constructive, experiment some more. That's one of the things you have a life for. And if you don't resonate with anything I say, then let it go. Don't try to wear a shoe that pinches. I'd also suggest that you do this with everyone that you encounter. Don't take as so anything that anyone tells you, even if they've got a congregation, a television show, if they publish books, if they have a podcast. It's great to be here with you. I don't feel vindicated because I haven't done anything. I don't feel good that all of these ideas are now mainstream because they're not my ideas. They belong to the universe. And everything that Linda and I have, Linda Francis, my spiritual partner, and I have written, done, co-created, has been what we were given to give. And what we were given to give is this. This was in the last century. It's a bit dramatic, but it was in the 80s. That there is an unprecedented and epic transformation of human consciousness that is underway. And it's happening very fast, within three or so human generations. Now we are midway through that epic transformation. And very fast does not begin to explain it. The evolution of the old consciousness extended over, well, it depends on where you start counting, but generally 300,000 years. So to say that a new consciousness is emerging in the entire human species in three or so human generations is almost incomprehensible, but it's not. But it is faster than an eye blink, faster than a heartbeat, from the perspective of what we used to consider evolutionary time. The old consciousness that we're leaving behind was limited to the five senses. If something could not be seen or heard or tasted, touched or smelled, it was considered fantasy or illusion or New Age propaganda.
Yeah.
The new consciousness is not limited to the five senses, which means that we now have the ability and are accessing experiences beyond the Earth School. The Earth School is a term we're using, I'm using, for this domain of time and space and matter and duality into which we were born and from which our souls, not our souls, but from which the incarnation that we have will die, in which the incarnation that we are will die. To be in the Earth School and to have a personality are the same thing. Your personality has a birthday and a death day. As we become multisensory, which is the new consciousness, we begin to experience that we have a part of ourselves that is immortal. And that is the soul, or what we're calling the soul. By we, I'm talking about Linda Francis and I and the way that we've presented these things over the last several years. Power to the old consciousness was understood as the ability to manipulate and control. That power, external power, is now obsolete. But it's more than obsolete. It's counterproductive to our evolution. It produces only violence and destruction. Now we're in new territory. And this is where our conversation starts. Actually, beginnings and endings are experiences within the Earth School, and they don't exist outside of it. But for convenience, we'll say that what I know and what I share began in this incarnation when I woke. This is a little difficult to explain because for years I was being taught, mentored by a non-physical mentor. Mm-hmm. And that mentoring has never been intrusive, it's never been directive, except twice. It's always shown me my experiences in a different way, allowing me to see them in a new light so that I could use them more effectively and lovingly. And this learning process that I've been on has taken me to places that are wonderful. And I will share all of them with you, or whichever that you prefer to look at. But we are going to new destinations in new ways. The new understanding of power is the alignment of the personality with the soul. That means with harmony and cooperation and sharing and reverence for life. You could also say that authentic power, which is in contrast to external power, is the ability to distinguish within yourself between love and fear. No matter what's happening inside you or what's happening outside you. For example, what's happening inside you could be depression, mania. It could be despair, competitiveness, superiority, inferiority, entitlement, need to please. It could be an obsession or an addiction. What's happening outside of you could be another 9/11 type event. Mm-hmm. Or a huge natural event, catastrophic event, like a tsunami, like a tornado, like a hurricane, like an earthquake. And no matter what's happening inside of you or outside of you, choose love, to be able to choose love. Well, choose love is, it's the song, it's the anthem of the New Age. And even people who don't know about the New Age want to choose love, some of them, a lot of them. But how do you do it when you're angry? How do you do it when you are jealous? How do you do it when you're competing? How do you do it when you're judging someone else? How do you do it when you want to kill someone else? How do you do it when you want to kill yourself? Mm-hmm. This is what creating authentic power allows you to do. And more than allows you, more than enables you to do, it provides you with our new evolutionary requirement. In other words, we are in a dramatic transformation from a five-sensory species that evolves by surviving and survives by pursuing external power, manipulation and control, into a multi-sensory species that evolves by growing spiritually and grows spiritually by creating authentic power. This is our new terrain. Miguel, is there anything else?
No, beautifully said. Love your words. At the same time, and I know these are the challenges in your book, Universal Human really hits the challenges, I think, correctly. Addiction, environmental issues, depression, everything that seems to be peaking again, 2024 seems to be happening. It's almost, I don't know. Well, we go back to the old saying, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times, right? So it's human beings are at a crisis in your book. Again, Universal Human deals, we are at a turning point.
Well, I don't think the Universal Human or I use terms like crisis or peaking. Mm-hmm. We are simply midway through this epic transformation. And the recent election in the United States shows that graphically. About half the people in our country are looking at things one way, and the other half are looking at things the other way. And this is not limited to the United States. This species-wide transformation in consciousness has no national or geographic boundaries. It's happening to business people in Germany. It's happening to rice farmers in Vietnam. It's happening all over the world. And it's not better or worse. We are not better than if people are... Since people are listening to us, they are multisensory. But we are not superior in any way to those who are still five-sensory. It's simply an ebb and flow in the movement of evolution. Within the next few generations, we will all be multisensory. But we will not all be necessarily authentically powerful, because authentic power is not a gift, as the new consciousness is. Authentic power is a potential that comes with the new consciousness, and we have to create it. And everything that we share, Linda and I, is about that, is about creating authentic power.
Beautifully said, indeed. And why do you think we fell into five senses? We weren't always that way, I'm sure, Gary. Why did we fool ourselves into thinking we were these, like, five sense humans?
That started with the origin of the species that we're now calling human.
Mm-hmm.
We have been five sensory throughout our history until recently. This is the magnitude, Miguel, of the transformation that's underway now. The entire human species is shifting in its consciousness. Now, this does not mean that there were not multisensory humans before. All of our religions are named after one, and there are many more than that that were. But this is the first time that the entirety of humanity is moving into a new consciousness, or a new consciousness is moving into it as one at the same time. That has never happened before. And it is extraordinarily exciting. I'm very optimistic. Things are not peaking. They're simply reflecting the fact that this new consciousness has emerged in hundreds of millions of individuals. Now, people that are younger than I, younger than we, for example, millennials and Gen Z, they were not born with the old consciousness as we were. They were among the first generations to have the new consciousness from birth. So for them, the term new human consciousness is not meaningful. To them, it's simply human consciousness. And so it helps to explain why the world is the way it is, because they know, they sense that something big is happening. They can see the world around us crumbling. They can see our social structures disintegrating. And they also see that the things that used to make them better make them worse. And they want to know why. They don't, some of them, yet understand that we have inherited this world from a five-sensory species that evolved by surviving and survived by pursuing external power. And these people, millennials and Gen Z and all of us with the new consciousness, want to contribute, want to give in meaningful and significant ways. And that's what I love most talking about, because that's what we were born to do.
Wonderfully, beautifully said again. And of course, this show deals with the lore of and the wisdom of the ancient Gnostics and Hermeticists. We talked briefly about you and Linda meeting Elaine Pagels. What do you think of the Gnostics? And I think you've read the Gospel of Thomas. What do you think of this literature?
Well, what I've read sounds wholesome and sane to me. It didn't sound that way to the church. Just two centuries after Christ walked this earth, this thing called the church said to embody his teaching, which is my limited understanding of the church, not of Christ. I think I know more about that than I know about the church. Because the church doesn't seem to have to do with love. It seems to have to do with fear and consequences if you don't follow what's required. Who requires it? As far as I can see, the church. Mm-hmm. But not beyond that, no matter what the claim is. So, we were five sensory until very recently. And now we are very rapidly becoming multisensory. If the church brings you, now I'm not talking to Buddhists, to Hindus, to the Aboriginal people, but if you're in the West and the church brings you comfort and helps your life become more loving and compassionate and flexible and giving, then enjoy it. You're on the right path. If there's any fear involved in you, explore other belief systems. You can.
Definitely, I would agree with that too. And the Gnostics, of course, agreed with many of their Eastern cousins about how we live in an illusion. And again, I don't want to get back to the topic of vindication, but again, simulation theory has become very scientific. So that all the ancient mystics were like, we told you so. What do you think about, you say we live in an earth school. Do you think we live in a simulation, or is there a better way to couch the term?
Not for me, maybe for you. And I don't want to look backwards, because this is not coming from behind. This is God coming from the past. And there's nothing mystical about it. Mystical is a term. In other words, to five sensory consciousness, a great deal, everything that is not under, that is seen only for what it is in the moment, is a mystery. From the new consciousness, we are able to see things and experience them that previously required faith or trust. This is the new consciousness. It is not rooted in the past. There has been wisdom in the past, and it has affected us. But what I am sharing with you, the transformation of humankind within a few generations into a wonderfully expansive new terrain of possibility, opportunity, and capability, this is not rooted in the past. This was not an inheritance that we have. It is a gift, a new gift that we are graciously being given by the gracious universe. Now, this is my perception of it, our experience.
Indeed. And yes, but you also speak of non-physical intelligence that are helping us out. Do you think they're very active today? Again, I won't bring up the vindication again, Gary, I promise. But again, UFOs were thought to be fringe. Now it's switched. Now if you don't believe in UFOs, you are the fringe in a lot of circles. Do you see we are being helped by other forces?
Let's define that, because we can refine as well as define. I do not consider UFOs help from the heavens, except in a poetic sense. Yet we have always received help from non-physical teachers. When we were five sensory, we received help, but five sensory humans were not able to recognize that or utilize that consciously because of the limitations of their awareness. Now we are able to utilize that and be aware of it. Do I think that this is just happening now? No. We have had help, non-physical assistance. Well, as long as the Earth School has existed, this is and before. Now, by the way, everything non-physical is not a teacher with a capital T. I've heard some people channel what they say are non-physical entities, and without being modest at all, they're not very smart. They're non-physical entities that don't know any more than you know. I'm not even sure they're non-physical entities, but the people who channel them feel that they are. So do not confuse non-physical reality with wisdom. Non-physical reality is a part of all that is. All that is, and we are that. And that is where our new consciousness is taking us. But at the moment, the headliner, the big news is the transformation from five-sensory to multi-sensory in a very fast manner.
What do you think, Vance? Do you have any questions for Gary?
Well, yeah. How is the experience of a multi-sensory human different than that of the five-sensory human? I mean, what kinds of thinking or experiences are open to them now if they're multi-sensory?
If you have a thought, for example, that you are more than a mind and a body, that is a multi-sensory experience. If you have a thought that the world is more than random, that there's things you can learn from it about yourself, not about the world. That is a multisensory experience. You know things about other people that the five senses did not tell you. That's a multisensory experience. You can meet someone walking toward you in the aisle of a grocery store, and in some way you know things about that person. And it's a real way. You know she's a very unhappy person. She just had a divorce. No one told you, but you know it. These are all multisensory experiences, and they're just a few. Just a few. And all of us are becoming multisensory. And have always been multisensory people in our species. But now we're all becoming multisensory. And hundreds of millions of us are already.
So would you say that it entails the expansions of our consciousness to connect to what seems to be separate consciousnesses, but really we're really all connected and part of a greater consciousness?
In order to connect something with something else, you have to have two things, and they have to be different.
Yeah.
We are accustomed to thinking and experiencing in terms of parts and the relationships between them. There are no such things, and there never have been. There is one, and all is that. And this is where your consciousness is taking you, if you choose. There is no right or wrong involved in this. There is no judgment and no reward. You can choose to create authentic power, which means access all of this in a way that you can experiment with it. But you are not rewarded for doing that, and you're not punished for not doing it. You simply don't change. Mm. And if you do experiment with your life, you can see for yourself that you have the power to change it. And it has to do with the simple tools of creating authentic power: emotional awareness, responsible choice, and consulting intuition. The rest of it is up to you. You have to do it. It's a matter of commitment and intention. There are only two intentions that are fundamental in the Earth School. I mentioned that the Earth School is a domain of duality. Mm-hmm. That means for every this, there is a that. Every large, there is a small, male, female, night, day. And these are perfectly balanced, or mutually exclusive, put it that way. The fundamental duality in the Earth School is love and fear. The opposite of love is not hate, it's fear.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When you act or speak with an intention of fear, you create consequences, and those consequences are destructive and painful and unhealthy. When you create or speak with the consciousness of love, you also create consequences, and they are the opposite. They are healthy, constructive, and blissful. Once you can begin to distinguish between fear and love in yourself, and you can, this is part of our evolution now. It's a requirement of our evolution, not a requirement in the sense that you get sent to hell or back to a primitive state, but a requirement in the sense of necessary to become an elegant spirit, necessary to move beyond the control of fear.
Well said indeed, and I would certainly agree. But you talk about fear. For those struggling today, and again, this show also deals a lot with addiction because we try to provide information that helps them. Because again, as we live in a great time where there are lots of tools, you know, remember the days where there wasn't, and it wasn't, I think it was Jimmy Carter's sister, where suddenly the whole addiction thing and bringing in holistic ideas and all that exploded. What is your advice, or what do you think are the roots of addiction, Gary?
We've been talking about love and fear.
Mm-hmm.
You experience fear in many different ways.
Yeah.
I've named a lot of them: sorrow, grief, despair, hopelessness, anguish, overwhelm, competitiveness. There are many experiences. There are also different experiences of love. You experience that as gratitude, appreciation, caring, contentment, patience, awe of the universe. In order to distinguish them, it's necessary to develop emotional awareness. Mm-hmm. Emotional awareness means awareness of your emotions in terms of your bodies, of your body. For example, when you have a painful emotion, look inside yourself, not outside. Five sensory humans look outside when they're in emotional pain because they feel that the world is the source of their emotional pain, but it's not. The world activates internal dynamics, internal to you, and those dynamics create your experiences. And I've been talking about them, frightened, and calling them frightened parts of your personality and loving parts of your personality. When you're experiencing a painful emotion, and you look inside yourself, put your attention in your throat area, mm-hmm. and your chest area, and your solar plexus area, and see what physical sensations you're experiencing there. And I don't mean good, bad, bubbly, happy, light. I mean physical sensations like aching, throbbing, contracting, stinging, stabbing, burning, churning. And when you're in fear, these are the physical sensations you'll find. They hurt. They're painful. And if you look at the thoughts of a frightened part of your personality, they're all judgmental and critical. For example, I know this. Why am I even listening to this? Or, I'll never understand this. It's way beyond me. Or, he's so stupid. Or, I'm so stupid. These are the things that frightened parts of a personality think, always. And they hurt. So you can distinguish them, but first you have to develop emotional awareness. Linda and I wrote a book on this. It's called The Heart of the Soul, Emotional Awareness. And it will take you through these things. And these three areas that I pointed out, your throat, your chest, your solar plexus, which is just below your sternum, where your ribs come together. These are your energy processing centers. In the East, they're called chakras. There's seven of them. And you have seven energy processing centers. But these are the three that, for me and for most people, are the easiest to feel physical sensations in. When you're feeling the painful physical sensations of a frightened part of your personality, and you're seeing its judgmental, critical thoughts, you use your volition, your free will, to move your attention to a loving part of your personality, a time when you were loved or loving, and you knew it.
Mm-hmm.
And then choose to act or speak from that part of your personality while you're experiencing the frightened part. That's the moment of creating authentic power. That's where the rubber meets the road. As you do this again and again, the frightened part of your personality that you are challenging begins to lose its control over you. Mm-hmm. It still comes. You still feel it. It still thinks its thoughts, but it doesn't control you the way it did. Its energy begins, its thoughts, its physical sensations begin to run off of you like water off the feathers of a duck. This is creating authentic power. This is our evolutionary pathway. This is our spiritual growth.
I envy your optimism. I want to be optimistic. But then again, I've got, like I said, I've got my own karma. I've got my own trauma. Then, of course, this can heal trauma, too. Same methods can heal trauma. Ancestral trauma, karmic trauma, childhood trauma.
Well, you can look at things in terms of trauma. You can also look at your experiences in terms of karmic necessities, which they are. In other words, I heard a beautiful metaphor. Suppose you're in a boat, you're crossing a river, and you're in the river, and another boat hits yours, bumps into yours, and you get angry. Say, hey, open your eyes. This is a river, you know, it doesn't belong to you. Don't you know how to steer that thing? What are you doing? No, get off my boat. Get your boat off my boat. All of these are experiences of a frightened part of your personality. They've disconnected from another person. They've judged that person. And they're angry, which is the same thing. Now, suppose that there's no other person. There's no person in the other boat. It's just a boat adrift in the ocean. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the river. Now, do you judge? Do you get angry? Do you condemn? Do you push away? Do you disconnect? No, there's nothing there to connect with or connect, I mean, or disconnect with. That's the way your life is. Every experience that you encounter is a karmic necessity, which means you have created it. It's the universe. Karma, you might say, is the universal, impersonal teacher of responsibility. And it's flawless. Everything that you experience, you have caused in the experience of another. When something happens to you, you can call it a trauma. But in that case, you say, yeah, well, the trauma was I was in Vietnam. The trauma was my uncle raped me. My trauma was I've been an alcoholic and I was beaten by my father. Those are all experiences in your life. And you might say there's no one in the other boat. They're given to you for your spiritual development. There's nothing in the Earth School that you will encounter, can encounter, or could ever encounter that does not serve a purpose. And that purpose is your spiritual development.
Indeed. I remember, back in the day when I was trying to get my life together, your book was very important, but I remember also Richard Bach's Illusions, and there's the quote at the end, perspective, use it or lose it. That kept me going, and I can see what you're saying. Yeah, it's all what punishes you is your greatest teacher. The dragon holds the treasure. What do you think, Vance?
Can I say one thing?
Of course, yes, please
question,
do.
Miguel,
yeah.
You said the trauma is your teacher. I don't know. You know, I would like to believe you, but that's what you said. When you come to that question, do you believe what I'm saying? That is a choice you must make. There is no external authority to define for you what is right, what is wrong, what you should believe, what you should not believe. These are choices that you must make, and no one can make them for you.
Very true.
Yeah, that's basically what the Gnostic orientation, quote-unquote, believes, because in the end, we're always the one who makes the choice. Whether or not we say somebody else convinced us, if we just listen to somebody else and do what they said, that's not our choice, you know, but we chose to listen to them and do it. So that's real responsibility, right? So
yes, that exactly. That is a big word, Vance, responsibility. You are responsible for what you create. Karma brings that to your attention continually. The Earth School continually brings frightened parts of your personality to your attention in a way that is difficult not to see because they hurt. And these are gifts. They are each showing you a part of your personality that you need to challenge and move beyond in order to give the gifts that you were born to give.
Yeah. How about dreams? Do you think dreams is an important part of the extra, you know, the multisensory experience? They tell us anything?
They're an important part of five-sensory and multisensory experience. But dreams are not about you. They're about your life, but they're not about what they appear to be about. You may have a dream about Miguel, for example, and that dream is instructive to you if you take the time to see its meaning, to feel its meaning. But it's not about Miguel. It's using an image of Miguel or your brother or your mother to teach you about you, but not about what you did yesterday or today. Dreams are archetypal. They show you larger movements of energy in your life. So, yes, I think dreams are important. They're significant. I've studied Carl Jung also. Mm-hmm. Everybody who's interested in dreams has. And I think that he has done the best job of explaining them and the archetypes that they reveal and the universality of those archetypes. But now we have new archetypes. New human archetypes that were not in the human psyche, that were not in our collective consciousness, our individual consciousnesses when Jung lived, that were not in it just a little while ago. They are brand new archetypes. I've mentioned one of them, spiritual partnership. A spiritual partnership is a partnership between equals for the purpose of spiritual growth. Spiritual growth means creating authentic power. Five-sensory humans would have no appreciation of or understanding of or use for such an archetype, a partnership between equals to grow spiritually. Multisensory humans see that clearly as the archetype that is now replacing every other relationship archetype in the human experience: marriage, romantic attraction, business connections, educational, parental. All of those are being swept away with the emergence of the new consciousness. And in its place, in this case, is a brand new archetype called spiritual partnership. Call it whatever you choose, but it's there, and it affects our action, and it controls it. And spiritual partnership does not require kirtan or mass or icons. There's a book on spiritual partnership. I wrote it, and it's called Spiritual Partnership. And I suggest you take a look at it. And it has many good things about it. Spiritual partnerships, I'll only go into this a little bit because I want to answer as many questions as I can for you from my perspective. Spiritual partnerships have three dynamics. Number one, the spiritual partners choose their roles within the partnership. In other words, the male may decide that he's going to be the stay-at-home person that takes care of the children, and the female is going to create the business, go out into the world. But it's not only in the spiritual partnership, it's in their lives. Well, this is another archetype, new male and new female. But we'll go into that perhaps later. The second dynamic of spiritual partnership is spiritual partners stay together as long as they grow spiritually together. There's no security in a spiritual partnership. When you're in a spiritual partnership, fasten your seatbelt, because your relationship, your spiritual partners, are going to bring into your awareness all of the frightened parts of your personality that you need to experience fully and challenge and move beyond the control of. And they'll also bring into your awareness the loving parts of your personality that you can cultivate by realizing that this is not a transient or an ephemeral good feeling experience that you won't be able to remember in 3 days. This is a loving part of your personality. Benchmark it, note it, remember it, so that you can return to it when you're creating authentic power. When you're in a frightened part of your personality and you decide to act from a loving part, this is a loving part. Remember it. Keep it with you. It's a gift. When spiritual partners cease to grow spiritually, the reason, the raison d'etre of their partnership, it no longer exists, and it falls apart. The partners simply begin to lose interest in one another. This is the opposite of a marriage partner. Marriage partners think, I've got you for life, good or bad. I can be sick or happy, you're mine, and you're going to take care of me. And yeah, I have to take care of you too, but sometimes we don't think of it that way. None of that is a part of spiritual partnership. Just the consciousness of the words is different. A husband is someone who husbands resources, takes care of them, manages them, utilizes them, uses them. Wife is, that word means chattel. Chattel is personal movable property. A wife is the personal movable property of her husband in terms of the consciousness of these words. No one multi-century will allow that to be part of their lives. That's why spiritual partnership is a partnership between equals. Now there's a third dynamic of spiritual partnership. Spiritual partners share with one another the things they are most frightened will destroy their partnership. Mm-hmm. For example, I'm attracted to this other person. For example, I can't stop drinking. For example, well, there's lots of examples. All of the frightened parts of our personalities. This is the opposite from marriage partners and friends. They don't want to rock the boat. Spiritual partners know how to swim, put it that way. This is our present and our future, except in the consciousness toward which you're moving, there is no future, so don't try to control it. There is the present. There is now. Everything is in the present, with the present, through the present, and you are the present. There is none other. You make your decisions now, not in the future that doesn't exist, not in the past that doesn't exist. Whatever you decide to do, in whatever context, you are deciding it now. That is the only time you ever can decide it. And that decision is one that only you can make.
Beautifully said, indeed, and wise words. Well, we are getting towards the end. Vance, do you have any last questions for Gary?
Yeah, in the multi-sensory era of humankind, is there a network of spiritual partnerships that would be emergent instead of corporations or our usual five sensory organizations in society? What's society like?
Yes, absolutely. And it's not an era. It is where we are now. This is our evolutionary modality. It's not an era. like, I don't know, Paleolithic times. No, this is where what okay. we are. There's no end to this in the Earth School. You might say the end of this, well, I won't go there, but the Earth School itself is not. Let me put it this way. Fear is an illusion. The entire realm of fear is an illusion. It doesn't exist. Love is real. Love exists. Fear is the illusion. That's why John Lennon never wrote a song, "All You Need Is Fear." Because it's ridiculous. Everyone knows that. All you need is love, because that's the only thing that's going to take you in the direction you want to move, toward harmony, cooperation, sharing, reverence for life, contributing, receiving, joy, vitality, creativity. That's where love takes you. When you choose love, that's where you choose to go. And the Earth School is an ongoing requirement to choose. And you are a chooser. You are a powerful and creative, compassionate and loving spirit. And the pain in your life is a measure of the distance between that reality and your self-image. The Earth School is an exquisite learning domain. Linda had a vision when we first came together of small circles, maybe six people, around the world, creating authentic power and spiritual partnership. And we've held that vision ever since. We've just created a nonprofit foundation called the Foundation for the Universal Human. Mm-hmm. And it is in support of exactly this vision. So if you want to know more, we just created it, so we don't have a website yet. Our mm-hmm. website now is the seatofthesoul.com, named all after right. the book and after our institute. But I encourage you to go there. There's a lot of things. All of them will support you. You can explore any of the things that I've talked about. And we've just created a podcast called the Gary Zukav Podcast. And I invite everyone to come to that. It's 20 minutes once a week. We call it a soul feast. And there's little things that happen every Monday. And every Friday, we publish something else, a little thing, may or may not be related to the soul feast. We call it a soul snack. So come and feast or snack with us. I'd love to talk with you. And we're always thinking of other ways that we can support people in creating authentic power and understanding authentic power and experimenting with it and spiritual partnerships. And thank you so much, Miguel, for inviting me onto your podcast to talk about these things. It's been a joy talking with both of you.
Likewise, Gary. Thank you very much for coming on. Yeah, thank you, Vance. And we will have, of course, on the show notes when this comes out, links to Gary's website. So check out his podcast and everything else. And definitely read his wonderful books. And yes, well, thank you, Gary. And thank you all, and we will talk sooner rather than later. Join Patreon, AB Prime, or Red Circle, and get full episodes and podcast summary and other cool bonuses. Clean, edited episodes on a private RSS feed. And no more commercials. Support Aeon Byte.
231. That's the average number of apps used by many companies. This leads to a lot of context and tab switching that drains employee focus and costs your company. Grammarly can help.
Grammarly's AI works in over 500,000 apps and websites, making it easy for your team to write clearly and on brand without disrupting workflow. Join 70,000 teams who save an average of $5,000 per employee per year using Grammarly. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.